This talk will partly answer something that Martin just mentioned. So we know that Emrys are expected to spend months or years in a LISA band instead of the few seconds or milliseconds that Inspirals spend in LIGO band. And the disparate mass and length scales involved, as well as So these disparate mass and length scales, they make the courant time step limit very restrictive. And these factors combined make Emrys computationally intractable for traditional numerical relativity. For perturbations in Schwarzschild or Kerr, we can use linearized gravity and solve the equations and compute the gravitational self-force in the time domain. That requires solving PDEs with distribution of sources. And so the numerical challenge is to deal with trying to approximate discontinuous solutions and model the discontinuities in space and time. There's also the challenge of dealing with a long time numerical evolution. So these are the last two bits are what I'm going to focus on today. In particular, this talk will be about the time evolution, and the next talk by Lydia will be on treating the discontinuities in the spatial discretization. So as a simple example, we can look at the Bardeen press equation, for example, in 1+1 dimensions. So after we do a spin-weighted spherical harmonic decomposition, we end up with a 1+1 equation for each multiple, L and M here. So that means our method is modal in the angular coordinates and nodal in the radial coordinate. So X is a tortoise coordinate here. And finally, we're going to use a symmetric method to evolve in the time direction. The Bardeen press equation, just like the Tucholsky equation and the Reggie-Wheeler equation, can be obtained from an action principle. So this is an action principle for Bardeen press, and you can write down an effective energy momentum tensor for this action and obtain conserved quantities. You can do something similar for the Reggie-Wheeler and the Zerilli equation. And you may notice that these actions have a U1 gauge symmetry. So if you do a complex rotation in C, the action doesn't change. And that gauge symmetry is neither related to a conserved current of this form. This is an analog of probability conservation in quantum mechanics. If you wrote down a classical Schrödinger action and apply this gauge symmetry, you would get a conserved probability current, for example. And if you consider Galilei transformations in the Schrödinger picture, you will get Ehrenfest theorem. And here, if you consider Poincaré transformations, you will get an analog of Ehrenfest's theorem for black holes that looks like this. So here K is a generator of Poincaré transformations. And for example, if we look at spatial translations, you get a relation for the rate of change of momentum. If we consider K to generate time translations, we get a relation for the energy rate of change. And similarly, if you consider Lorentz boosts, you get a relation for the center mass velocity and so on. So for the Reggie-Wheeler case, we have a static potential. So this term here is zero, and we have conservation of energy. We would like to construct a numerical method that will conserve these properties exactly to machine precision. So in particular, we want to focus on the fact that both Tucholsky or Bardeen press and the Reggie Wheeler and the Zirilli equations, they are Hamiltonian. So there's underlying symplectic structure that we'd like to conserve. And we can write them in first order canonical form like this. By the way, this form is preferable compared to the usual form. You may see sometimes partial deep C being set equal to some other quantity P and using that for a first order reduction. If you use something like hyperboloidal coordinates and do that with pseudo-spectral methods, you will find that your time step is severely limited. If you use this form instead, the canonical form, you'll find that your time step is about 10 times larger. So that's one important thing to notice. But actually, we're going to use methods that are not Courant limited at all. So I just mentioned an underlying symplectic structure. You can write down a conserved symplectic structure for Reggie Wheeler. There are similar expressions that hold for general relativity and for linearized GR and for the Tucholsky equation, for example. These are just a few references. And some theorems that motivate this work are these theorems here. So Hermite integration preserves the symplectic structure for quadratic Hamiltonians, like the ones we just looked at. And it also preserves the energy and U1 nether charge, again, for quadratic Hamiltonians. So I'm going to hint on why this is true, although I'm not going to prove it. So the numerical method we follow here is called the method of lines. That means we discretize our state vector. So our state vector U is basically psi and the momentum. So we discretize these vectors in space, and there's a differential operator involved here, which we also differentiate in space, and it ends up being some kind of differentiation matrix acting on U. And then evolving the system in time means we're solving, after discretizing it this way, means we have converted our PDEs to a system of coupled ODEs. And the coupling is through this matrix L, through these differentiation matrices. And then we can evolve the system forward in time as an ODE or system of ODEs, or we can apply the fundamental theory of calculus and discretize it in time by writing it as an integral. If you use something like Runge-Kutta methods or other explicit methods, you end up with a formula that looks like this. So the problem with this formula is that it's not time symmetric. So if you go from Tn to Tn plus 1 and then go back to Tn with the same numerical method, you don't go back to where you started from. So obviously you're violating some underlying symmetry of the system. On the other hand, if you use Hermite integration, that amounts to doing a two-point Taylor expansion of this integrand and then approximating that expansion. You end up with a formula that looks like this. This formula is symmetric. So if I change the sign of delta t to minus delta t and change un from un for un plus 1, if I interchange those, then I get back the same formula. So that means I will go back where I started from in this case. So I have a better chance of preserving underlying symmetries of the system. So let's look at what symmetries we can preserve. Before we do that, the price we pay for this symmetry is that this method is now implicit. So that means essentially that we have to invert some matrix. In general, that matrix will depend on the fields, so we will have to do it at every time step. But in this case, we're doing linearized gravity. So we can actually invert this matrix and store it. And then each time step will simply involve a matrix multiplication. Now, for the first theorem I mentioned earlier, for quadratic Hamiltonians, a time step using this Hermite integration method amounts to a canonical transformation. So you can easily prove that the Jacobian of this transformation is 1 exactly for quadratic Hamiltonians. So that means we conserved area in phase space and so on. On the other hand, if you use a Runge-Kutta method or any other ordinary explicit method, you will find that the Jacobian is not exactly 1. So the transformation from Tn to Tn plus 1 each time step fails to be canonical. And so we are not conserving area in phase space. We can also look at the other quantities I mentioned earlier. So here's an evolution for the Reggie-Wheeler, or actually this Bardeen-Price equation. And that's the energy conservation. So with the Hermite method, even a second order Hermite method conserves energy to near machine precision. And it also conserves this U1 nether charge to near machine precision. Whereas Runge-Kutta methods, they accumulate error over time. Here is another plot showing the price tails at Scribe Plus. And there's a lot more to these methods, but let me just conclude for now by saying that explicit methods based on one-point Taylor expansions like Runge-Kutta methods are not time symmetric. And they're only conditionally stable, which means if you have a current limit and if you take a large time step, the method may become unstable. So you have a restriction there. And nether symmetries and symplectic structure are violated. That means if you simulate emrys using Runge-Kutta methods, you will be losing energy to your numerical method instead of losing it to gravitational waves. So that means the gravitational waves that you're extracting from such a simulation do not have the correct energy loss. On the other hand, implicit methods based on two-point Taylor expansions, like the Hermite rule and higher order generalizations, are time symmetric. They're unconditionally stable, which overcomes the problem of time step completely. You can take very large time steps without fear of losing stability. And for linearized gravity, implicit methods are not a problem because you can simply invert the matrix and store it. So you don't have to pay the price in this case of an implicit method. The energy, the U1 charge, and symplectic structure are conserved by these methods, at least for quadratic Hamiltonians, so at least for linearized gravity. And these are, of course, highly desirable features for long-time numerical evolution of emrys. And finally, and more importantly, these methods can be generalized to arbitrarily high order and to discontinuous problems by using the method of undetermined coefficients to model the jumps due to distributional sources. So more information on how to do this can be found in this paper. And in the next talk by Lydia. Thank you. Any questions?
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, we have just a couple minutes for questions. So please raise your hands. Looks like we already have some. So Martin, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Yes. So Harris, yes, very nice talk. So would you still accumulate error on things that aren't conserved quantities, like the phases?
Yes, you would. Although, you know, so for example, Hermite method of fourth order and Runge-Kutta method of fourth order, they would both have fourth order error in the solution itself. But the error for Hermite methods tends to go down much faster compared to Runge-Kutta methods. So if you go to the sixth order method, for example, you're already near machine precision.
Great, thank you.
And you can also solve actually the homogeneous part of this equation. You can solve it actually exactly in time, and then just treat the particle numerically.